This week in The Hague, the war crimes trial of Slobodan Milosevic is set to resume after yet another delay due to his ill health. The former Yugoslav president is trying to get his trial postponed until next year because of ongoing medical problems. He's defending himself on charges of genocide and crimes against humanity during the Balkan Wars of the 1990s. This high-profile trial was seen as an essential step toward confronting the crimes of the past and building democracy in the former Yugoslavia. To see if that's happening, we turn now to Misha Glenny, who has written extensively on the Balkans. Hello.
Hello.
As we begin our conversation, we should note that today is actually the 60th anniversary of the Nuremberg trials, the trials of Nazi war criminals that paved the way for this kind of historical reckoning. Is the Yugoslavia War Crimes Tribunal serving the same purpose?
I don't think it is. It's more complex in a certain sense, the ICTY, as the War Crimes Tribunal is known, partly, of course, because there were more sides involved, and so you have indictees from a variety of sides and a variety of wars. And so it's essentially more complicated. And whereas in Germany during the Nuremberg trials, the political settlement at the end of the war was clear, Germany was absolutely defeated, you don't have the same situation pertaining in the former Yugoslavia.
Now, Milosevic went on trial starting back in the beginning of 2002. Why is this taking so long?
I think it's been ill-prepared by the prosecution in as much that they're trying him for too many things. So their case took a long time, particularly since Milosevic is by nature somebody who likes and enjoys playing games. He refuses to recognize the court. He defends himself whilst at the same time not recognizing the court's jurisdiction. And so it's one huge game as far as he's concerned. And he's used every minute to prolong, to divert, to deflect the trial. And now that he is running his own defense, he's able to do that with quite consummate skill, as well, of course, calling on his ill health, which is genuine. He's a diabetic, he has high blood pressure, he has heart problems, in order to prolong the entire proceeding.
What do people in the region think about this whole process, the trials and what's happening there?
There are very varied feelings about it. If, for example, you take the Bosniaks, who are the Muslims of Bosnia and Herzegovina, who were the greatest victims of these wars, no question about that, they are very concerned to see the tribunal do its work and for people to get their just deserts. But then if you go across to neighboring Croatia, upon whom some sanctions were applied until very recently because they refused or were unable to give up their biggest war crime suspect, General Ante Gotovina, you see in Croatia ferocious hostility towards the war crimes tribunal. The Croats insist that they were fighting a war of independence and they were having to throw out what they regard as the Serbian occupier. And so in no way should they be subject to the War Crimes Tribunal. And of course, in Serbia itself, the War Crimes Tribunal is seen as yet another instrument that the international community wields in its discriminatory attitude towards Serbia and the Serbs. It certainly does complicate a lot of the political issues which are trying to be solved there at the moment.
How so?
Well, what the whole region of the former Yugoslavia, by each individual's country and territory's admission, is doing is that they all want to get to the European Union as fast as possible. In order to do that, they have to meet certain standards in economics, in politics, in human rights, and so on and so forth. A lot of this is made very difficult because they are all, to varying degrees, under a range of sanctions still for only partially cooperating with the tribunal. And as long as that's the case, it's very difficult for them to make progress on the road towards European Union membership. And that has the effect of slowing down, in particular, the economic stabilization of the region, because this is still a very deprived and underdeveloped region. And as such, it is still potentially quite explosive. And some people are rather worried that the ICTY is thus contributing to a deepening of the crisis, the political and economic crisis in the region. However, in what looks to me like, you know, a really landmark turnaround in the international community policy towards the tribunal, the tribunal was trying to block, just a few weeks back, Croatia's opening negotiations for European Union membership because Gotovina had not been handed over. Now, until this point, the European Union had accepted the tribunal's decision and was refusing to enter final negotiations with Croatia. However, a few weeks back, this was turned on its head and the EU ignored the advice of the tribunal. That means the tribunal's political clout in the process of constitutional form is now visibly diminishing.
Misha Glenny is the author of The Balkans, Nationalism, War, and the Great Powers. He spoke with us from his home in London. Thank you.
Thank you very much.